Praise God, this is August the 1st, Sunday evening. And as I was praying today, this afternoon, about the message tonight, the Lord began to speak to me. And you know what I heard him say? He said, I've got a lot of things that I say. I've given a lot of instructions in my word. And I've given my people a lot of things. It's like projects. I've given them projects, things to work on, things to do. You know, if you go to any educational institution of higher learning or even grade school, you know, you're going to have assignments. And I don't care where you go to get an education. There's going to be assignments. There's going to be things you have to do in order to develop and grow and learn. Things you're going to be assigned to read. Things you're going to be assigned to may possibly even give speeches. You know, projects. Go out and if you're in a science, do science fairs. You got to make maybe build, building projects. So anyway, the Lord was speaking to me tonight about this, about Christian growth, about the things that He's asked us to do as believers once we get born again. Now we are in a whole different realm of learning now, but really and truly, the same rules apply to the things of the Spirit. We are still supposed to grow in the things of God. We're still supposed to learn about the kingdom of God and all that the kingdom of heaven is about. It's like we're learning a whole new language. It's like learning a whole new way of life, a whole new way of thinking. It's like now I've got the kingdom of heaven in front of me. Now I've got opportunity to know all about God. Now I've got opportunity to learn all about the angels and the powers and the prince and the things of the world to come. There's things that we're going to learn about, and we are learning about how to call down things and how to speak to things and how to bind and how to loose and just all kinds of wonderful things God is teaching His people. If you'll be teachable. You know, we got to be teachable, of course. But I'm open. Hey, God, I want to know about the kingdom. I'm hungry. I'm one that wants to excel. And I think I've excelled in some things more than others. And not so much in some things, you know? Some of us are just better at doing some things. Some of us are better at repenting quickly. Some of us have a hard time repenting. We finally do it, but it's, you know what I mean? It's just a struggle to get there, to say, I'm sorry, or I failed, or I messed up. It's pretty easy for me to do that. But let me get back to this message tonight, because I wanted to say all that because there are just some serious instructions that God has given the believer. And most of us, not all of us, but some of us have excelled, some of us haven't in certain things. Some of us have neglected our homework. Some of us have not been reading and seeking and praying, looking. And that's what we're supposed to do as believers if we really want to grow. So let's look at some instructions in the Word. And the Word kept coming to me, labor. Labor, labor. And this is something Jesus spoke to His disciples. It's in St. John chapter 6, verse 27. This is an instruction from the Lord. He says, labor not for the meat which perisheth. Okay, I can do that. Labor not for the meat which perisheth. Okay, what kind of meat am I supposed to labor for? He says, labor, though, for the meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you. For Him hath God the Father sealed. He meant exactly what He said. He said, labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you. Okay, Lord, You said You're going to give me this meat. Well, what's the laboring part? If You're just going to give it to me, how come I got to labor? If You're just going to give it to me, what's there any labor in that? If You're just, if someone just hands you something, that's not really work. That's not an effort. You know what He's talking about? He's talking about provision. He has made every provision for us to know the mysteries of the kingdom. He's made every provision. He has laid it open. It's wide open. It's what the Lord has said. I'm going to make provision. I'm going to give you everything you need to be successful. I'm going to give you every opportunity to learn and to grow and develop and become the very best you can become. I'm going to make everything conducive for just for you, just like I did with my children when I homeschooled them. I gave them a condition that was conducive to learning. And the Lord said, I'll do the same for you. I'm going to give you this meat, but you got to labor. You're going to have to do your part. You're going to have to pray. You're going to have to read the Word. And you're going to have to be serious about learning these different things that I'm going to teach you. The truths of the Word of God. He said, in John, he says, you have no need that any man teach you, but that same anointing will teach you all things. He's going to give you an anointing that's going to enable you to learn what he wants you to learn. So he's going to make, there will be no excuse when we stand before the Lord. Well, Lord, you know, I just didn't have time. That's not going to go. That isn't going to go. Because he will make provision for you to have time. He'll make provision for you to have everything you need to grow. Can't use that excuse when you stand before him. I didn't have time. Because he said, I'm going to give you this meat. I'm going to read it in the Amplified. Stop toiling and doing. Boy, that's a good one. I like what Joyce Myers used to say. I'm a human being, not a human doing. He says, stop doing and doing and doing. He said, stop toiling and doing and producing for the food that perisheth and decomposes in the using, but strive and work and produce rather for the everlasting food which endures continually unto life eternal. The Son of Man will furnish you that. For God the Father has authorized and certified him and put his seal of endorsement upon him. Whoa. Now, that's where we start. That's the beginning point. And the new birth, and the life, the new life. The new birth is a new life. You become a new creature. Old things have passed away. All things have become new. We're a new creature in Christ Jesus. When you're born again, your slate is clean. You're like a brand new baby, and you're supposed to grow. It says, desire the sincere milk of the Word that you can grow thereby. Well, I'm like any normal baby. Babies want milk. It's not hard for a baby calf, a baby horse, or any baby is going to know how to get to hold of that milk. And buddy, they can root and go after it. I mean, you ever just see them just root each other out of the way? They go after that milk. And that's the way baby Christians are supposed to be. They're supposed to be so hungry for that Word, the milk of the Word. So we don't labor for just, you know, we can spend our time laboring. We can do it. I mean, a lot of people do it, labor, labor, labor. And then they forget to labor for the Word. Let me read on here. I'm going to go back to King James. Verse 28. Then said they unto him, what shall we do that we might work the works of God? Jesus answered and said unto them, this is the work of God, that you believe on him whom he hath sent. Then they said therefore unto him, what sign showest thou then, that we may see and believe thee? What dost thou work? Our father did eat manna in the desert. As it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. Then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. Then they said unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. But I said unto you that you also have seen me and believe not. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. That's one thing you need to always remember, that if you come to Jesus, he'll never, ever, never will he ever say, I don't have time for you today. He'll never send you away empty-handed either. you go to Him and seek Him, He'll never say, I'm busy today, I'm taking a break, don't have time to talk, I've got this appointment, I got that appointment, I got to run, I don't have time. He'll always be there, available to you. He'll never send you away. He'll never cast you out. And it doesn't matter what you've done, how bad you are, how ugly or whatever. Doesn't matter how ugly you've been. Doesn't matter. He said, if you come to me, I won't cast you out. Now, somebody else might cast you out. But Jesus said, I'll never cast you out. That's just one thing you need to remember. And when you mean to take this to the Lord, when you pray, you said, Lord, anyone, you said, now this is what you said, I'm coming to you, and you said if I would come to you, you wouldn't cast me out. I haven't been so nice today, but you said you wouldn't cast me out. I haven't done what I'm supposed to do today, but you said you wouldn't cast me out if I would do my part and come to you. Just remember that. That's important. That's always been an important fact to me in my walk with God all these years, is that I would remind Him, Lord, you said to come to you, there's an invitation, and you said if I would come to you, you would never cast me out. That's good news to me. It's good news. It's good news when you know the Lord will never cast you out. Now your parents might cast you out. Your sister might cast you out. You might not feel too welcome some places, but Jesus said, you're always welcome with me. I'll never send you away. I'll never cast you out. You can come unto me, all you that labor, heavy laden. I will give you rest. Anyway, that's just wanted to share that, because that's so important. Verse 38, for I came down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of Him that sent me. And this is the Father's will which hath sent me, that all which He hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. And this is the will of Him that sent me, that every one which seeth the Son and believeth on Him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. Well, some people say, well, I didn't ever see Jesus. If you can look at this word with your spiritual eyes, then you can see Jesus. If you'll pray and seek Him, you can see Jesus. Everybody can see Jesus if they really want to see Jesus. Because He said, I'll never send you away. Come unto me, all you labor heavy laden, I will give you rest. In Jeremiah 29, He says, and you shall find me. You will find me when you have searched for me with all your heart. That's the assignment. That's our part. That's our job. That's why it's labor, because it is labor. It's labor to pray. It's labor to seek God. It's one of the hardest things you'll ever do. It really is. Some people would rather go out there and build a house or dig a ditch in the hot sun as to pray. Because it's harder work sometimes than that. It's work. I've worked hard my whole life. I know what hard work is. And I can compare the labor for this meat is right up there when you really are laboring for God and you're laboring for this meat, this revelation knowledge, the things that He wants you to have. It's labor. You know why it's labor? Because there are obstacles in the way. There are hindrances that can come. There's a devil who doesn't want you to know anything about the kingdom of heaven. There are all kinds of things that you will have to deal with and the things you have to push past to get to where God wants you to be. Spiritually. Growing in the things of God is labor. And I just know that. I'm still working. I'm still laboring. I'm still digging. I'm still going. But it's so good, I don't want to stop. The reward is so great. I just want more. I want more revelation. I want more knowledge. I want more understanding. I don't mind laboring for God anymore. Now, at first it was tough. Because I didn't know what I was really going after. But I just knew, by faith, I started believing the Word of God. And next thing you know, man, I started seeing the rewards. He rewards you openly. He said, when you pray to your Father in secret, He said, you pray in secret and He will reward you openly. Wow, when those rewards started coming, it was well worth the time in prayer. Well worth it. Because I love the rewards. He will reward you openly. There's some other places. Oh, let me go back to this one verse here before I move on, because this is really important to get a hold of. And He talks about the work. What is the work of God? This is the work of God, verse 29, that you believe on him whom he has sent. That's work. That's the work of God. What is the work? What am I laboring for? What kind of work? Labor and work are synonymous. They go together. You go to work every day, you labor. You labor for a paycheck, though. You don't labor just for the fun of it. You do a work for something. And the work, the labor, is that you can believe on who he really is. That you can actually believe what he said in his word about himself. This is the work. This is the labor. This is the labor. That's the work. That's how it's, and it's hard to really believe in Jesus. Now, I might say, oh, is it so hard to believe in Jesus? Why is it so hard to believe in Jesus? Well, for one thing, he's not physically here. This is work to really believe in whom God has sent. Why did God send Jesus? Why, Jesus, did you come? Why was he sent? You know, I can show you why he was sent. He was sent to destroy the works of the devil. He came to destroy the works of Satan. Go with me to Hebrews. In chapter 2, verse 14. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same. This is why I'm telling you why Jesus was sent. That through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is, the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. That's what he did. It's not a maybe thing. It's a no-so thing. And when you know that you've been delivered from the powers of darkness, when you know that you've been translated out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light, when you really know that, it's labor to know that, to really believe that. That's labor. Especially when you've got obstacles in your life. Especially if you've got pain in your body. Especially if you've got whatever going on, to really believe that. But that's work. That's the labor. To really believe that he really sent him and he really did what he was sent to do. I truly know beyond a shadow of a doubt, Jesus did not fail in his mission. He became flesh and blood and he did it so he could destroy the works of darkness. So he could take authority over the powers of darkness. And he did. He really did. He said, I am he that liveth. And behold, I was dead, but I'm alive, and I live forevermore. And I have the keys of death, hell, and the grave. And because I live, he said, you're going to live also. But it's to those who believe are going to live also. Believing is labor. To really believe that. He's alive. I mean, if this was easy, everybody'd be doing it. If this was an easy way of life, everybody'd be serving God. Everybody'd be going to heaven. If this was the easy way, but it's not the easy way. It's a tough road sometimes to believe God in the midst of situations, in the midst of crisis. But I just determined this is my labor. This is my job. This is my work. This is my assignment. And I'm going to keep on laboring. I'm going to keep on working because there is rewards in this labor. Rewards, great rewards. I'm going to keep on believing, keep on doing what I'm supposed to do. Glory to God. Praise God. Luke chapter 13. And I want to go to verse 24. This is something else the Master said. Something else he said in his instructions. He only was with those folks, those disciples, the foundational apostles, for 3.5 years. He had a lot of instructions for them. He had a lot of things to get into them so they could build the church that he said, "This is the upon this rock I'm going to build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it." He was getting these disciples ready to build his church. And this is what he told them. He said, "Strive to enter in at the straight gate. For many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in and shall not be able." That used to really distress me. I think, no, wait a minute. Many will seek? Many will strive. Many will try. Many will seek to enter in and will shall not be able. Well, that doesn't seem fair. If they're really trying, how come they can't enter in? What's the problem? And that's what he says. It's a straight gate. This is the key. There's a key to this right here. It's a straight gate. It really is a straight gate. I mean, it's like you can't go to the right, you can't go to the left, you got to go straight. It's straight. There's a way. When he says it's straight, what he's really saying is it's a path that only it's a certain pathway. It's a pathway that not everybody wants to walk on. And it's a gateway. The gateway is a holiness way. It's a righteous way. It's a path that's laid with, it's just a gateway and a pathway. It's an entrance is what he's talking about. It's an entrance. And let me show you what I mean more clearly about this entrance. I'm going to give you some revelation. I pray this prayer for my church and this church, for myself, that God would grant you the spirit of wisdom, the spirit of revelation, the knowledge of Him, that your eyes of understanding will be enlightened, that you might know what is the hope of your calling in Christ Jesus. Because without the spirit of wisdom, without the spirit of revelation, you can't get a hold of these truths. You can't have it. You've got to have the spirit of wisdom, the spirit of revelation, because this is not natural. This is not natural. This is not things of natural man, carnality. This is a spiritual revelation. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Enter in at the straight gate. Let's go to 2 Peter. This is such a good word tonight. The Holy Spirit just laid this all out for me so beautifully. That's what something Thursday night Pastor Derber said, that we're going to start hearing, the body of Christ is going to start hearing beautiful. We're going to see beautiful. Because God is beautiful. His kingdom is beautiful. Everything about the kingdom of heaven is beautiful. The glory of God is just beautiful. So 2 Peter chapter 3. This is a little bit, give you an understanding about the straight gate. Because he said many are going to try to get in this gate, go through this gate, and they can't come. They can't enter. Because it's a straight gate. Verse 18 says, "But grow in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ." That is a commandment. Grow in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That's part of that straight gate. It's a gate. You know, a lot of people don't like growing. Growing pains. They don't like learning. They don't like homework. They don't like laboring. This is about the straight gate now. I'm sharing with you about the straight gate. It's change. It's about change that's coming in you. Change that's going to change. Things are going to change the way you look at life, the way you think about things, get you out of your patterns of living. It's taking you to a place that you've never been before, and maybe you might not feel very comfortable in. Things are going to change in your life. I love change. Not everybody likes change, but I love change. It excites me to see something come along different. This is a straight gate. It's a pathway. It's a gateway. God's way is the right way. And when he said, enter in at the straight gate, he's saying that there is a right way. The only way is the straight gate way. That's a good way to say it. It's a straight gate way. And there's the only way, and it's the straight gate way. And this is what I'm sharing with you. He said, you've got to grow in the grace. And by the way, grace is not just God's unmerited favor. The grace is his ability, learning how to yield to him and allow his ability to work through you and get to you what he needs to get to you. That's grace. If you lack something, the grace is there to get it to you. He said, I would that you all grace abound towards you, that you always have all sufficiency in all things, that you can abound in every good work. The Lord is able to make all grace abound towards you, all ability, all whatever you need. But you got to believe that. This straight gate is about believing. It's about being disciplined. It's about seeking. It's about wanting to adhere to His word of 2 Peter. It says, for so an entrance. Here's that gate. There's an entrance into the kingdom. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly. Into what? The everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That's a hallelujah. You mean an entrance is going to be ministered to me abundantly? But you said many are going to try to get in that straight gate, but they're not going to be able to. If you're ministering abundantly an entrance into this kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, then how come so many are not going to be able to enter in? Why is it so tough? How come if it's so abundantly ministered, you know, abundance really means having more than you know what to do with. Abundance means ability beyond what you could even use. Provision made that you don't even need. That's abundance. Having everything you could possibly ever imagine to get in. Then how come it's so tough? How come so many are not able to get in? Why is this? It sounds like he's talking two different things, doesn't it? But he isn't. It's still the same entrance. It's still the straight gate. It's still the same pathway. It's still the same opening that gets us all in the same place, which is the kingdom of God. I'm going to the same place you're going. Same gate, same path. How do you get in? Well, he said, I'm going to give it to you. This is the work that I'm going to give you. Because that entrance is being ministered to me abundantly. And I am so thankful it is, because I couldn't get there on my own. I couldn't do it by myself. It's about believing. Believing. Do you know how hard it is to believe the Word of God? Some people just can't believe. They said it so much, they just can't believe. I just can't believe. The key of laboring is getting into the kingdom of heaven is to believe on the whom He hath sent. And when you give Him that believing ability, let me start believing. Give Him something to work with. I'm going to believe. Well, I started out with a measure of faith. Then I began to seek God. Faith comes from hearing by the Word of God. I began to develop that faith. I began to grow that faith. But I had to keep believing. I had to keep stretching, and keep believing. Believing His word. But let's go back now to this entrance. I want to go back to this straight gate, because this entrance is going to be so ministered to you so abundantly and into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I used to read this and think, okay, that means I'm going to get to go to heaven. That when I die, He's going to take me to heaven. But what about the 50 years I got or 70 years I got before I die and go to heaven? What's going on in those years? Am I just going to suffer and starve and struggle and be beat and be abused and just be just a dog dragging my feet, barely making it along? Poverty and, oh God, this is too hard. No, that's not the picture that He wants His children, His church. He wants you to walk in abundance. Abundance. He said, I came to give you life and give it to you more abundantly. If you just read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, these are eyewitnesses' accounts of what Jesus did. Eyewitnesses. They shared their eyewitness testimony, the account of what He really was all about. He demonstrated God everywhere He went. He never, ever, ever sent anyone away that came to Him. He ministered abundantly to everyone that came to Him. Did you know I was reading the other night in Mark, It said that when they saw him coming out of that boat, he would come across the sea, and all the people recognized him. They began to drag sick people on mats by the thousands. They drug them into the street places so he could just walk by, and they would lay there and beg him, just let us touch, because they couldn't move. They're paralyzed or whatever. They were laying there everywhere. Thousands of them came from all over the countryside. They would bring sick people, maimed people, blind people, and they would beg Jesus, just let me touch your garment. Let me just touch the hem of your garment. And everybody that touched him was healed completely. They came from everywhere just to get a hold of Jesus. And he ministered abundantly. When there was 5,000 hungry, he fed them. And guess how much baskets was left over? 12 baskets. Another time, they were in the wilderness, 4,000 people. And guess how many baskets? 7. There was more provision they even needed left over. Jesus never had lack in his presence, ever. You get in the presence of God, you'll never have lack either. You get in his ability, you get in his abundance, that entrance that he's going to minister to you abundantly, you will never have lack. Never. Because heaven's yours. This is what I started to say a minute ago. It's not about when I die. It's about living right now. Today, I'm living in the kingdom. I'm ministering abundantly here tonight with the kingdom of heaven. There's an abundant ministry here. Abundance is coming at you. You hear it? You feel it? It's the anointing of God. It's not me. It's heaven. Heaven breathes on us. Heaven ministers to us. God is all about helping us. That straight gate. There's a path. There's an entrance. And he said, I'm going to minister to you abundantly into that everlasting kingdom. I'm living everlasting kingdom right now. See, when I die, I need everlasting kingdom right now. I need abundance right now. In heaven, they've got streets. They got so much gold there, they pave their streets with gold. They don't use asphalt, they use gold. They've got it in abundance. They got diamonds in abundance. They got jewels in abundance. They never want for nothing up there, or wherever there is. Heaven is a real place. And I'm going there, and I'm going to stand before the Lord. I know that, because I'm a believer. There's an entrance been made for me, and it's made for me every day, an entrance for whatever I need abundantly. Isn't that good? If I'm sad, he knows how to make me glad. If I'm weak, he knows how to make me strong. Whatever I need, there's ministry abundantly to me, an entrance into that kingdom. Glory to God. That's because I know the straight gate. I know the way. He said, I'm the way, I'm the truth, the life. He is my way. He is my truth. He is my life. He's everyone's way, everyone's truth, and everyone's life. Some people excel more in some things than others. Now, some kids are good in all the subjects. They excel in math, English, social studies, geography. They love it all. Some just struggle. But I'm telling you, God deals with each one of us on our own level. He deals with us as much as we give him, he can do something with it. Whatever you give Jesus, he can do something with it. Just give him your faith. Give him, say, Lord, I want to believe. I want to believe everything you said about me. I want to believe everything you've promised me. I don't want to lose out and miss out on nothing. As I'm journeying here and sojourning here, I don't want to miss out on anything. I want that entrance. Minister to me abundantly in everything I need. There will be no lack for the child of God who believes. No lack. Now there is a condition here to this ministry abundantly. And this straight gate. I'm going to show you why it is difficult for some people to enter in. This is why. If you go back to chapter 1 of 2 Peter. Let's flip over and look at here's why it's so difficult for some folks to enter in. Let's start with verse 5. And beside this, give all diligence. Now here's labor coming at you. Here's your homework. Here's your assignment. We're supposed to give all diligence, and we're supposed to add to our faith virtue. Well, we all have been given a measure of faith. Now, we're supposed to do something with that faith. We're supposed to grow faith, grow in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ and the faith, and we're supposed to grow. But this is what he says. You've got your faith. You're growing in your faith. Then he says, you add to that faith your virtue. And to virtue, knowledge. Knowledge, temperance. Temperance, patience. Patience, godliness. To godliness, brotherly kindness. And to brotherly kindness, charity. And then he promises this. If these things, all these things I just listed, abound in you. If these things be in you, first of all, they got to be in you. And then they got to abound. They be in you first, and then they got to abound. That's talking about growth. They make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence. Here's that labor to enter into that straight gate. Here's that laboring for the meat which whom he will give you. Make your calling and election sure. I can't think of anything more important than my calling and my election. I can't think of anything more important than my salvation. I can't think of anything I would put a I can't put a price tag on that. My soul is priceless. Eternity is priceless. He said, what would it profit a man if he gained the whole world and lost his own soul? You cannot put a price on your soul. I gotta make my, I'm the one that's got to do this. I've got to make my calling. I've got to make my election sure. I wish I could do it for everybody else, but I got to do it for me first. I'm numero uno. Is that how you say it? Numero uno? Number one. I got to make my calling and election sure. But he said that if these things be in you and abound, they make you. They're already going to help you out. They're only going to make the provision available that you'll never be barren. You'll never be unfruitful. You'll always be producing. You'll always be doing good. You're going to be just like Jesus, going about doing good and healing all that were sick, oppressed of the devil. You're going to be able to walk upon scorpions and serpents, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. And you're going to know that. You're going to be confident in the things of God. You're going to know who you are. You're going to know how to deal with situations. You're going to know who He is. You're going to have faith. Your faith will be so big. Your faith will be so big because it's going to abound. Because he said, I'll make you. These things will make you this way. And then he said, for so an entrance will be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom. These are promises, provisional promises into that, through that straight pathway, that gate. Verse 8 says, for if these things be in you and abound, they make you, that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never fall. Never fall away. You never have to worry about backsliding. Never have to worry about... You just don't have to worry anymore. I love the fact that I don't have to worry. As long as I'm taking care of me, keeping me in these things, giving diligence, laboring. Now, you could go through every one of these and you could understand how important they are. But this is a promise. This is a provisional promise. Isn't this good? Praise God, it's just good. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 11. Here's another labor coming at you. And it's all the same. Because we're all working toward walking in the things of the kingdom of heaven right now and enjoying the blessings of heaven. But it's our labor. It's our work. Chapter 4, verse 11. Let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest. There's that path. If you're not in rest, you're not on the right path. If you're not on rest, let me tell you a fact. This is not just a hope so, no so. This is a no so. This is not a maybe or might be. This is an absolute. If you're not entered into rest, you're not in faith. If you're not entering into rest and you're not walking in the rest of God that He's provided, you're not on the right path. That's not the straight gate. That's not the straight path that He's provided. Because rest is the key. It's like, it's kind of like you set your thermostat and you like your room being a certain temperature. It's like nice and comfortable, right? I don't like it over 73 degrees in my apartment. That's comfortable for me. May not be comfortable for Delise, but it's comfortable for me. Or Darlene, but it's comfortable for me. I like it that cool. Nothing like walking in that apartment when I've been outside. And I can just go, ah, so good to be here. But if you've got something going on in your life that's just not brought you, you're not any rest. You're not resting. You're laboring. You're struggling. You see, this is what you're laboring for. To get to that place where you can rest in the things of God. Where you can rest and know who you are. You know who He is. You know who you are. You know what He's promised. You know the provision is abundantly. You know the entrance is going to be made available to you abundantly. Whatever it is you need. Come unto me, all ye labor heavy laden. I will give you rest. You trust Him at His word. You know He is who He said He is, and He will do what He says He will do. That's believing. That's the labor. It's hard to get to that place where you really believe God. And then you've entered into that rest of God. Believing is resting. And this is what He says. Let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. Now, He's talking about the children of Israel when they were in the wilderness. All they did was murmur and complain. Murmur and complain about everything. Nothing ever was right to them. Just never was right. They worried, they feared, they were tormented all the time. Upset all the time. They didn't enter into that rest. And it's amazing to me how the Lord just is so rich in His goodness to us. Look at this next verse. Verse 12 says, "For the word of God is quick and powerful." You need to meditate on this. We need to meditate on this one little verse right here. The word of God is quick and powerful. What's your word level? Have you been doing your homework? Been reading the word? Been seeking the Lord? You been memorizing any scripture? Been meditating on any word lately? What you been thinking about? What you been putting your attention to? Something Gloria Copeland taught me that helped me so much. She said, whatever you put your attention to, your desire will follow it. And it's the truth. You can try it. It works. If you start seeking the Lord and start reading the word, your emotions will begin to get stirred up. You'll desire that. You can't wait to read the word. You can't wait to pray. You can't wait to get along with God because you've given your attention to it. At first it's hard, but you labor to do that. And you see how it changes you. Because this is what He said. It's quick. It's powerful. I don't know about you, but I want stuff that's quick and powerful. That word quick means life-giving. It's creative. It's got creative ability in it. It has in itself the DNA of its own nature, the Word of God. Whatever He says, he who can believe, He'll do. You can believe it. Jesus says, whatsoever things you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive it, and you shall have it. Think about that. Whatever you can believe, whatever things you desire, when you pray, believe you receive that desire, and you're going to have that desire. Jesus said this. What are things you desire when you pray? I can't think of any greater way to live than to live like that every day. Whatever I desire, well, I desire this, I desire that. I think I want that, I think I want this. And so I just believe that I've received and I have my desire. That's abundant life. That's really abundant life. Believe that you receive. But see, what the problem is, We really haven't got to that place of believing for that, and we're still believing. We think we're believing. We're really just hoping. We're really just hoping, and it's not really believing. But we think we're believing, but it's just hope. Hope is not believing. Because if you believed, you would know you had it, and you would have it. Do you see what I mean? It's a difference than just looking for something to happen way off someday. It's you have it now. You have it right now. You have His Word right now on it because it's creative. The actual Word of God will create that thing. What He's actually saying is if you don't have it, He said, I'll make sure it's created to get it to you. In other words, His Word will create that thing when you believe it in your heart. The Word of God is the creative power in your mouth. It will create it. If you don't have it, it creates it because you believed it. It sets it, it activates it. Your believer inside of you believes. Believing that Word activates, it activates that power. That creative ability in that Word. That's powerful. It's the Word is quick and powerful. Now, in one place Jesus said, all power is commended unto me in heaven and earth. Go you therefore. It's in the, I think it's in the last chapter of Matthew. Let's look at that. And when you realize what power is available to you, when you begin to realize what He has promised you, and you begin to look at, man, this labor doesn't, it's all worthwhile then. Then it's like, wow, I don't mind laboring for this, because this is the extreme life. This is extreme living. I'm telling you, this is living on some things that it's just kind of out of this world. And anyway, because it is out of this world. The kingdom of heaven is not in this world system. You're living in a different place when you're walking in the things of the kingdom. The last chapter of Matthew, that's 28, verse 18. And Jesus came and spake unto them. Now this is after He was raised from the dead. He's alive. He's in front of them. And He's talking to them. And He's telling them these last instructions. This is His last command. And it's to all the believer. Every believer has this command. It's not just to these people. It's all of us. He says, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Now, I want to say this. Let me just follow me here a minute. Jesus is saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Now, I just read where He said, I'm going to make an entrance. He said, if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you never be barren, never be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom. He's seated at the right hand of the Father. We've been made to sit in heavenly places. Glory to God. We can breathe heaven's air. We can walk in that freshness of the glory of God. We have all things are yours, He said in one place. We have access to the throne of God. The real throne. I'm talking not go through no high priest on earth. I'm talking the very throne room of God in His name. And then He says here, now I've got all this power. Remember the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword? Didn't He say He was the Word of God? Nothing shall be impossible to him that believeth, He said in one place. Whatever you desire, when you pray, believe you receive it and you shall have it. You can speak to mountains. You can call things that are not as though they are. Have the God kind of faith. I could go on and on and on about the things that God wants to give the body of Christ. The glory He's getting, He is actually getting ready to show forth His glory. We're getting ready to have the manifestation of the sons of God. We're on the verge of the greatest outpouring of the Holy Spirit the world has ever seen. I'm going to be a part of that. And you are too. It's exciting to be in the kingdom of heaven. This is the most exciting time to be in the kingdom of God. This is the last generation. Early church, buddy, I love to read the book of Acts. And I love to see the things that Paul did. But we're going to do those things and even greater things. Because the latter rain is going to be even better than the beginning rain. I really believe that. So look what he says again. I want to go back to this because Jesus is making something. He's saying to this commissioning his church. All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Heaven and earth. When heaven and earth meet, heaven and earth meet, guess where I am? I'm in earth. I'm not in heaven yet. But the power is also available in heaven and in earth in the name of Jesus. So earth is affected with the name of Jesus. Heaven is affected in the name with the name of Jesus. The power of God is available to the believer in heaven and in earth. Do you see that? The same power is available that's in heaven is also in earth. You all ain't really seeing that. The power of God, all the power, he said, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. He said it. All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Now, we're not in heaven yet. We're on earth. I'm an earthly being right now. I'm in earth. I'm covered in earth. This body came from earth. It's going back to earth, but it's right now still very alive in earth. My spirit man is living in this earthly body. I'm the temple of the Holy Ghost. Holy Spirit, God is dwelling in me. God dwells in me. His power dwells in me. The same Holy Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is in my body right now. Same Spirit. Holy Ghost raised Jesus from the dead. Raised him not only from the dead, but raised him up out of hell. And put his spirit back I'm telling you, all power. See, we just haven't really labored too much in this area. But see, this straight gate, this is a way, a pathway into the kingdom of heaven. It's hard for some to find this way. You start preaching this kind of message to some people and they just run. Oh God, I can't believe that. It's all about believing. How can I believe that? Some Christians can't even hardly grasp the revelation God wants to pour out on them. It's just too much. Felix said, Paul, you must be mad. You're mad for much, you know, what did he say? Much preaching has made you mad. You're losing your mind. They thought he was crazy. They thought Paul was crazy. Felix said, you've lost your mind. I can't remember how exactly it says it. Because he's preaching about Jesus. Then this is what he says, the very next thing he says to the disciples. Go you therefore. In other words, you have the same about power. You have the same ability available to you. Because an entrance is made available to you abundantly. An entrance into the kingdom. You can call those things that are not as though they are. You can speak to mountains. Why do you think he instructed the disciples? Why do you think he gave so many examples to them? They watched Lazarus come forth. Loose him. Lazarus, come forth. He came out of that grave, been dead 4 days, and he said, loose him. And the bands fell off of him. That's the power that's in earth. Demonstrated in front of them. Should not be too out there for a believer that really believes. Would you think that's too out there to believe? I can believe. We're going to grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Go you therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world. All things that he commanded us is the other reason some people cannot go through the straight gate. They strive to enter in, but they can't get in. Because they cannot adhere to all that he commanded. Add to your faith virtue, virtue knowledge, knowledge temperance, temperance patience, patience brotherly kindness charity. If these things be in you and abound you, they make you that you never be barren nor unfruitful. These things are supposed to abound in us. Develop these things. Develop the fruit of the Spirit. He said, if you walk in the Spirit, you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh, because they war against each other all the time in conflict. It's a different way of life. Not a natural way of living. Living by faith is the hardest thing you'll ever do. Living by faith is the most difficult. It's difficult. It's not easy. Because it's not about looking at something. It's not about comprehending it in your head. It's a walk of the Spirit in your heart. by faith. You got to have different eyes. Eyes of your understanding enlightened that you might know what is the hope of your calling. It's a revelation way of life. You begin to see things that other people don't see. You begin to hear the Holy Spirit talk when other people don't hear Him talk. You tell people, God talks to me. Well, they look at you like, yeah, sure. But you're living in a different life. You're living the kingdom life. This entrance has been made open to you. Straight is that gate. Narrow is that way. But it's well worth it. Because it's a path that only few people find. Very few. That's what He said. Few there be that find it. But buddy, when you do, you ever find it, you know you have found it. I found it. But I had to seek, I had to labor, I had to work. It was not easy. I had to fight devils. I had to rebuke devils. I had to fight. I'm going to tell you what, I fought some big devils. And I'm still fighting. Actually, let me say that again. I do not fight devils anymore. You know what I do with devils? Read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John and look how Jesus dealt with devils. Read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John and just watch Jesus at work. Watch Him act. Well, act out. Not act, but watch Jesus just be Jesus. Watch Jesus just be Himself. Read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John and watch the Savior be Himself. And that's what you're supposed to be like. It's amazing. When you start looking at through life through His eyes, and He says, you have the mind of Christ. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made of Himself no reputation. Let this mind be in you. I just seal this word tonight. I seal this word. I thank You for this revelation word tonight. And I ask God that every heart would just embrace this word and hold this word close and carry this word and desire more of revelation and knowledge and understanding of You and how to enter into this straight gate and how to walk in the things of God. And God, I just ask You to bless this word in every heart in Jesus' name. Amen.